It's your last chance to walk away.
Are you kidding? It's 5 against 1.
It's 3 against 1.
How do you figure?
Once I take out the leader, which is you, I'll have to contend with 1 or 2 enthusiastic wingmen. The last 2 guys, I always run.
Well, you done this before?
It's getting late. Remember, you wanted this. It's okay. You're okay.
Get up.
He's hurt. On 3rd and long, Prescott runs it up the middle. 15, 10, 5, diving to the run.
But you have me at a loss. You know my name, but who are you?
Just another American who saw too many movies as a child. Another orphan of a bankrupt culture who thinks he's John Wayne, Rambo, Marshall Dillon.
I was always kind of partial to Roy Rogers, actually. I really like those sequined shirts.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Yippee-ki-yay.
Well, I'll kiss your boots if you can do it. But to be the man, you gotta beat the man. And I'm saying, woo, right here. I'm the man. You're gonna be mine. Woo!
Yeah, here we go.
Avengers! Assemble.
No! Welcome back. It's the 0 to 100 podcast. I am your host, William C. Walker Jr. Episode 113, which I'm saying cowboy up. Because them boys is up, especially after that beatdown of Philadelphia last Sunday night. On Sunday Night Football, Cowboys win the game 33-13, 20-point victory. It was so much greatness from this game. In this episode, I'm joined by my dad, JR, Greg, and we talk about the Cowboys' Sunday night victory over the Philadelphia Eagles, which, like I said, it was absolutely glorious. There is nothing better than living in Philadelphia, being a Cowboys fan, especially when the Eagles lose. Like, it's always great when the Eagles lose, but when they lose to the Cowboys, it just gives me an extra warm feeling in my heart, and it makes the Christmas season that much more special. I'm sorry. I know it's just one game. I know there's still plenty of season left. I know the haters are already moving the goalposts like, oh, do it in the playoffs. Okay, I get it. But I don't care, man. Because this game was so great just because it was smashing narratives. Like, everybody was like, oh, well, the Cowboys can't beat good teams. Okay, well, they beat Seattle and then they beat the Eagles. And then it was, oh, well, after Seattle, like after they beat Seattle, which was a team with a winning record when they played them, people were like, oh, look how close it was. See, you only blow out the bad teams. So the fact that they blew the Eagles out just made it that much more glorious. So I know in the last episode I said it was going to be definitely talking about the Eagles game, but also it was going to be my Christmas list episode. Well, I wasn't able to get the people together for that, so I'm actually going to try to record that this weekend. So the next episode, I promise, regardless of what happens in the Buffalo Cowboys game, it will be centered on the Christmas list. Like, I'm definitely going to touch on the Cowboys versus the Bills, of course, but this, you know, this episode right now is primarily Cowboys versus Eagles, because I had to talk about it. It was such a good game. So many great things that happened in it. And just, you know, it was fun to have my dad on, especially because the only time I've had my dad on, unfortunately, has been after, you know, soul-crushing losses, like, you know, the loss to the 49ers and the first loss to the Eagles. So I was like, I gotta get him back on so we can talk about a Cowboys victory. JR has been on the last couple episodes, which has been really great to connect with him, and it's been fun. And I loved having Greg back on because Greg always is like the ultimate hype man when it comes to the Cowboys. So that's been fun. So let's get right into it. It's Cowboys versus Eagles. I will talk a little Christmas because I remember last episode I talked about how I saw Violent Night. I'm gonna share my thoughts on that movie, and then again, I solidified what the Christmas list episode is going to be about, so I will get into it. But you're listening to the 0 to 100 podcast, episode 113, Cowboy Up. Let's go. It's the 0 to 100 podcast. I am very happy to be recording this on Victory Monday after the Cowboys took care of business. They smashed the Eagles. I have my dad on with me. Hey, Dad.
Hey, Billy.
And I got JR back on. What's up, JR?
What up?
All right. So, Dad, I told you I would have you back on to talk about a Cowboys win because I've only had you on after they lost. So now we can talk about it. A Cowboys victory. They beat down the Eagles. I was telling JR before you jumped on, living in Philly, it is nothing sweeter than being here when the Eagles lose, especially when they lose to the Cowboys. I went to the grocery store today. I have my hoodie on. This guy go, you know y'all got lucky, right? I said, like, what? I was like, lucky? I was like, nah, dog. I was like, 20-point wins, that's not luck. That's a beatdown.
Right. Like, tell me this, dude. Do you listen to Philly sports radio?
Yes, especially after the Eagles lose.
Especially after they lose. Oh, my God, it's so sweet.
Especially
I just like to soak in the suffering.
Yes, I do that. I watch the local news, the CDR sports. I recorded their Philly live sports on Channel 10, which is NBC here, because I just wanted to see them talk about after they got beat down. They're like, oh, another tough one where, you know, there's 2 weeks in a row where they've been dominated. And I'm like, oh, that's right. You're falling apart. So I'll start with you, Dad. What were your expectations going into this game?
Well, you know, because Dallas had such a win streak at home, you know, it really worth thinking that, you know, there's no way they were going to lose to the Eagles, especially because they played them tough up in Philly. And so you knew that, you know, Dak would be on. And unless there was something freaky to happen, there's no way they were going to, that the Eagles were going to win. Now, did I think that they would beat them by 20 points? To be honest, I really thought that that Dallas would score about 40 points again. I didn't know what the defense would do with the Eagles. I didn't expect them to really shut them out from not scoring any touchdowns. You know, that's the right. Defense scored, but the offense, you know. But it's possible because, you know, 49ers held them to, you know, the two field goals. And so well, no, not really, but in the first half, two field goals. So, you know, it's possible. But, you know, what I just see Dallas's defense offense getting in stride. You know, better than I've seen them going into a December historically, mm-hmm. And so this really feels like there is something different. I was listening to First Take earlier this morning, and I can't remember. I think it was even Stephen A. who said this team feels like something different from the typical Dallas teams, because, you know, we always have those great expectations and then, you know, the letdown in the playoffs. But that performance I think validates that this is a different Dallas team. They're hitting their stride at the right time, and you know, so they should be able to live up to the expectation. Now, do I think they'll make it to the Super Bowl? San Francisco really looks tough, but they got beat three times, so that means that they can be had. So I'm excited about Dallas's chances of getting to the Super Bowl. And if they get in, then there's no doubt I think they'll win.
JR, what was your expectations before this game?
I'm going to tell you, and this is the God's honest truth, I expected to kick their ass. You know, I don't know that I was expecting a 20-point win, but I was expecting us to be clearly the better team. Part of it was, you know, at the beginning, you know, before the year even started, I expected us to split those games. I think most Cowboys and Eagles fans expected to split those games if they were being real about it, you know. But I thought that in the last game, you know, I thought there was a lot of the game we looked better, you know. And now we were going to be on our field, where we know we play lights out. I think you and I have talked on Twitter before. For most of the year, you know, and like I say, you know, and we have said, you know, I want to make sure it's clear that I'm giving props to the Eagles for what they have done. And winning the 10 games is commendable, and you know, I don't want to take that away from them. I have thought they were living on borrowed time that whole time. You know, mm-hmm. like they, you know, they, you know, there was, you know, and
the,
there were
the bill,
you
know, a bunch came of through. Like.
Yep. Yes, exactly. At some point, you knew they were going to have to pay the piper. And so I figured that's what was going to happen. I think I thought our defense is better than theirs. Our offense is at least as good as theirs. What we've known that other people are learning is that our quarterback is actually much better. You know, so yeah, I expected to win. I expected to win big. That's it. Yeah.
Greg, thanks for jumping on. I was just asking them what their thoughts were before the Eagles game. Like, what was the expectations before the Cowboys played the Eagles?
I mean, my expectations, I expected us to win. You know, the game, the last game we played was pretty close. And, if we didn't have a couple mistakes on our end, especially, you know, with Dak stepping out of bounds, I think we could have a different conversation right now. So I expected to win, just because I had the performance that they had, in the previous game, but also too, just knowing our record at home this year, you know what I mean? It's just, you know, all of you guys know for a while there, it was Jerry where was home, it was a neutral site.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yep. Everybody was coming there getting a piece of us, you know what I mean?
Yep.
But this year is different. And so, you know, and then, you know, even when we go back to and I agree with JR too. You know, the whole time I've been telling some of my Eagles friends, like, y'all on borrowed time, man. Like, you know, and eventually that bill gonna be due. You know what I mean? And the thing about it is, you can start seeing the cracks in the armor. You know, when Sam Howell throwing a party on him, and then Dak throws a party on him, and then there's another guy throws. You know what I mean? So you can see that they, you know, the chinks in their armor. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so it was interesting to also see, like, you know, that left a real bad taste in, you know, the team's mouth after that first loss. You know what I mean? Especially and the thing about it is, you know, our defense, it don't take much to get them revved up as it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And so having that extra motivation and extra chip on our shoulder, I expected us to go I expect them to come down and for us to go into our building and handle business.
I expected the Cowboys to win. I didn't expect them to dominate like they did. Like, I honestly thought it was going to be more like the Seattle game. Like, I thought the Cowboys would win a shootout. And because I knew the offense was going to move the ball up and down on that Eagles defense. That Eagles defense, I've been saying it. I said it last year. I didn't think their defense was that good. I think their secondary is trash. They have a great front. I couldn't even say front seven, because they have a great front four. Like, they have a good defensive line and defensive rotation. But that was the best part of it to me, was how the Cowboys was bullying them on both sides of the ball. Like Terrence Steele, I give credit because Terrence Steele single-handedly lost that game in Philly, but he handled Hassan Reddick for the most part. Like, he got the one sack. That second sack, I don't even really count because that game was over at that point, and Dak was just trying to, you know, not throw an incompletion or whatever, and so he got that second sack. But, yeah, the way they dominated that game, man, that's what I'm talking about.
I thought that was the most surprising aspect of the game, because when I think of Philadelphia, I think the thing that sets them apart, I generally think of their offensive line, their defensive line, and how many ballers mm-hmm. they have on both sides, and that we seem to be like whipping their tail on you said, on both sides. Mm-hmm. I was like, what is going on?
But to your point, Jared, if you think about that, like, what was the those two interior linemen, especially the one that they did draft this year, what has always been their MO? They're not workout warriors. Dude. You know what I mean? So it's easy for them to jump. It's easy for them to jump on people when they have a lead. If the offense is doing what they're supposed to do, you can rotate those guys out. But when it comes down to it, you know what I mean? Like they just wore them down. It's completely wore them down. And you could tell, like, you know, something's up in there, up there in Philly. You know what I mean? And that too was still handling Hassan Reddick like that. Even if you look at, even he gassed out. You know, Sweat gassed out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They were all, you know, you could tell they were all gassed. Like, we actually took it to them on both sides of the ball.
Yeah. It's crazy when you think that game was actually over at halftime.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It absolutely was.
So I'll start with you, Greg. Who is the player of the game for you on offense?
Player for me on offense, it has to go. You know what? I was getting ready to do it, but look, I can't overlook my man J-Sat, man. I can't overlook my man J-Sat, man. Look, J-Sat is one of them. He's turning into one of those tight ends, man. That third down, even if you know the ball's going to him, there's nothing you can do about it. And his run after the catch.
Yes.
His run after the catch, man. He's like, you know what he looks like with his run after catch? Remember Jeremy Shockey back in the day? Yeah. He used to look for contact and straight knock people out. That's what he looks like right after contact. I mean, he's big and can catch and move like Gronk. But his run after contact, like, you know, Gronk was just kind of like, he would just run into you. But Jeremy Shockey was looking to put you into the dirt. And that's what I see in J-Sat, man.
I know my dad is happy because as much as we love Witten, that was one of the things that used to drive my dad crazy. Talking about Witten don't give you nothing after the
5 yards of down. 5 yards of down. It's crazy. And like Ferguson seems to get yak every single time. Like every time he catches the ball, he goes. And he's north south. He goes straight north south. Like he doesn't like dancing. He goes boom. He's up and he's knocking people out and jumping over them. He's awesome, yeah.
Dan, who's your offensive player of the game?
Well, you know, it's hard to overlook Dak. I mean, you know, he keeps moving his game up. I mean, he made some really good passes. You know, it was Cooks. Really, should have if nothing should have gotten a pass interference on that play.
Yeah,
you know, if not caught it, but it looked like he was going to be out of bounds if he had caught it. So he should have went for a PI. Yeah. So and that would have put it at the one, and there had been another touchdown. So, but yeah, I still think Dak is playing MVP level. You know. Pollard hasn't gotten back to where he needs to be, and again, I think it's more the plays they call for him as opposed to where he hasn't been able to show what he can do. And you know, Lamb is Lamb, so I'd give it to Dak.
Okay, JR.
You know, I think I'm going to go because I felt like there were a lot of players nobody took big bites. Everybody took little bites. You know, like Michael Gallup had a little, and Power had a little, and Rico Dowdle had a little, and CD had a little, and Ferg, which means like for me, I think Dak stayed great. I feel like I wanted to give it on somebody on the offensive line. And I saw some videos of Tyler Smith just like burying people in the ground. Like, it was like, it must hurt to play him. You know, it must hurt to play him. So I'm just gonna go with Tyler Smith from the left guard position, also playing at an all-pro level.
That's what I was about to say. Tyler Smith played at an all-pro level this season, man. And I was
outside of that touchdown, did we hear from Jalen Carter or George?
Exactly.
You know?
No.
Exactly.
Not a peep. The thing about it is, if I could change my vote, I would go towards the side of JR, and I would say the whole offensive line, because other than the fumble by Dak, I don't think they had a single sack.
They sure did.
Dak had time to sit there in the pocket, you know, eat a sandwich, you know, roll out to his right, roll out to his left. You know what I mean? Like, he had plenty of time to will and deal like he did. So if I could change my vote, I would, you know, hop on board with JR, but I would give it to the whole offensive line.
Yeah, because talking about the line, it amazes me how Tyron Smith has turned back the clock.
Yeah.
Tyron Smith is like...
Sure has.
I was like, I think all of us was like, you know, before the season, it would be like, retire, he'd be like, okay, he need to be the swing tackle. He don't even need to start. He just need to be a swing tackle.
And then at the beginning of the season, you know, it was like, oh, he's hurt again. I was even so guilty.
I was even cool with him hanging out over there at right tackle some more.
Exactly.
You know? Right.
He's playing like whatever they do where they say he don't have to practice no more.
Who knew?
He's doing it because he is balling. I guess the offensive player, I gotta go with Dak again. I gotta give it to Dak because
I think it's a good call.
He's leveling up. He is leveling up. And it's like I love what he said after the game, where he said, I ain't even played to my standard, because if I played, you know, my standard, we'd have put 50 up. And I was like, that's right, because like that drop that CD had. That pass he threw.
That was a hilarious pass, yo.
It was right on the money. And then, but like the other pass, the pass he threw on the third and sixth to Gallup down the sideline.
Oh, that was beautiful.
I was like, because one, he was getting hit when he threw it. So I think he had put his whole arm into it. I thought, oh, that's short. It's not going to get there.
But even that dime he threw to Ferg on that long third down, and
that was like Mr. Ferg. Fantastic, because he had to like stretch his arm around. I was like, "What are you doing?"
And even Ferg caught that thing with his fingernails.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
And then the dime he dropped to Cooks at the end of the first half to set up that touchdown. He's dealing. It's just I can't, man.
The crazy thing about even with Dak now is his confidence. What other quarterback you know would have confidence to throw a jump ball to a guy who's covered and who's probably about 6 inches taller than him?
Yep.
You know what I mean? Distrusted Cooks to get up over top of him, and that little man sure did.
It's just the way he's playing is just like, that's why I just feel like I have supreme confidence in this team, especially if the defense keeps doing what they're doing, because like after the Seattle game, now you get a little bit nervous. You'd be like, oh, well, maybe it's not, can the Cowboys be good teams? Can this defense dominate a good team? They dominated a good team. Like the Eagles, as much as I hate them, I'll give them credit because they got A.J. Brown. They got Devontae Smith. Dallas Goedert was back. They got, if not the best offensive line, one of the best offensive lines. And Jalen Hurts was actually running in that game, but they took it to them. It was like the best thing to me. Like somebody said, well, the first game, the Cowboys, the Eagles fumbled it three times and they got every single one back. And then this time they fumbled three times and Dallas got every single one. It was like perfectly balanced. Like that's how it should be.
And the thing about it is to piggyback off of what you guys were talking about when I jumped on here, this team is different. This team is different because if you look back since Dak's rookie year, that team was different. You know what I mean? But the flaw was the defense. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yep. We finally, and then last year the flaw was the offense. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So we finally have an offense that can match a defense and a defense that can match your offense. You know what I mean? Like we finally have that defense that will bend but not break. You know what I mean? Yep. We finally have an offense that is simplified enough so where Dak doesn't have to throw interceptions left and right, and the offense be the issue. Like we finally have, you know, we finally have CeeDee Lamb emerging as the number one receiver that a lot of us thought he could be. You know what I mean? We finally have a bona fide number two wide receiver. You know what I mean? And now we have a bona fide tight end in our offensive line. Knock on wood, barring the injury, seems to be back how it was Dak's rookie year.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Gary.
No, go ahead. I'll just say, and that's why I feel, you know, this team is different.
Mm-hmm. JR, who's your defensive player of the game?
Stephon Gilmore. In fact, like for me, he was the player of the game. You know, Stephon Gilmore was incredible. You know, it was and just like I didn't expect him to be that physical with AJ Brown the whole game. Yes. That was the part that was surprising to me. It was like you know, he always seems like such a quiet guy, you know, and he and like, you know, he has a really like mellow face, and seeing him just like John back and forth all game long with AJ Brown, but like backing it up, you know, and it's funny because like we saw that when he was talking about the fumbles, well, you guys needed fumbles to win. It was like the Cowboys took those fumbles.
I mean,
that wasn't like they fumbled the handoff kind of thing, you know, or you know, something. I mean, they went in there and got those balls. Like, you know, Stephon Gilmore took that from AJ Brown.
Yep.
You know, it was, you know, I thought it was like the best game I'd seen him play, you know, and like for a guy, you know, for a guy who didn't have interceptions, you know, it was just like he had a real impact on the game. I thought he was great.
Not just that, but normally his coverage was his receiver would be open and he'd make the tackle, but you know, he was nowhere near knocking the ball down. I mean, he basically shut down AJ Brown. And I think the commentator, Collinsworth, indicated, you know, AJ Brown was leading in yards after the catch.
Mm-hmm.
And Gilmore shut him down. You know, he may have caught the ball, but he didn't have the yards after the catch. And that's what they were missing.
Yep.
So especially so that fourth down play where they hit Devontae Smith.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no yards after catch.
Yep. So is that who you would pick for your defensive player, Dad?
Wow, it would be hard. That was his best game. You know, because I really earlier in the season I said, "Boy, the Cowboys got took in trading for this guy," but he came through. I mean, because AJ Brown is really who gets the Eagles started.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And for him to shut him down like he did, yeah.
Well, Bland
did okay this game. He didn't get a pick. Which is, you know, you're starting to wonder, but yeah, I agree with JR that it's Gilmore.
Yeah, we come to find out that because Gilmore said AJ Brown before the game was calling Stephon Gilmore old, called him old, and it just he said it made him mad, and so he just had to show him, and I was like, he showed him because it's like he had two forced fumbles. And yeah, that fourth down stop with Devontae Smith, that was huge. That was it. He balled. And I do know, Dan, you was down on him because you was just like, would they sign him? Where they get him for? But nah, it's he when they switched him over to DK Metcalf from that, like in that second half of the Seattle game, from there on, somebody else did turn the clock back. That looked like defensive player of the year, Stephon Gilmore, right there.
Mm-hmm. So interesting.
Yeah. Greg, who's your defensive player?
I mean, I got to go with Gilly also, and yeah. you know, at that second half, for you know, I mean, he was doing this thing, you know, in my opinion, the whole season, but especially last week with what he did to Metcalf and what he did to AJ Brown, that's looking like the best fifth rounder we ever spent. You know what I mean?
Right.
And the thing about it is, like, you need players with that caliber and that skill set and that savvy and that veteran status for situations in games like this. But like, you need to be like, okay, our young boys are over here getting cooked. Let's put the old head over here and shut all this down. You know, and stop mm-hmm. all this going on right here. You know what I mean? So it has to be him. In my opinion, you know, he was and just to piggyback, like he took that ball from AJ Brown. It wasn't like AJ Brown was having to drop the ball on the ground. He literally took that ball. We were taking their lunch all night.
Yep.
All night.
Yep.
Well, you got a sandwich in your hand. I'm hungry. I want it. Give it to me. You know what I mean? And it was all night long.
That fourth down play was a great team defense play. I thought, you know, one of the things I really appreciated was, you know, like Nick Bosa had his little video and Dan Quinn was like, you know what, whatever, dude, that's not how we do it. Mm-hmm. You know, and like on that fourth down play, like they put that pressure on Jalen Hurts so fast. He's like, I got to throw it. Because you know that's not where he wanted to go.
That was when the camera caught him on the sideline. He's like, what else can I do? That's right. You can't do
that. That's right.
Nothing.
The tsunami was coming.
You were supposed to do what you did, brother. Run for your life. Yep. Get out of there.
Yep.
It was a great team defense play.
Yeah, it was. I mean, they balled. Like, the whole defense. Like, Michael Parsons, like, even from the jump, like, even though he got called for the hands to the face, When he punched Lane Johnson in the face and bloodied his nose,
that set the tone for the night.
Yep, it did.
Absolutely.
When Michael Parsons, just like DeMarcus D. Law said, when Michael Parsons punched that man in the face, you knew from there on they didn't want to get punched in the face no more. Yep. And that was the tone was set right there. But but another thing, the referee set the tone too, because right out the gate, what did they call? Those egregious false starts on Lane Johnson and Malaga. They've been doing it since last season.
Yep.
And what did the referees do? They called one on Lane Johnson and one on Malaga. Let y'all know, we watching what y'all doing.
It's been driving y'all been me doing crazy. It for you.
Y'all been doing it ever since last year. We watching what y'all doing. But if you notice, that's how they were able to get beat off the edge, because they didn't have that false start. They weren't false starting. Yep. You know what I mean? And so the thing about it is, like, that set the tone right there, too. And that kind of leveled things out. Other than that, I mean, the game was called close. But that set the tone right there, especially when Michael Parsons punched dude in the face.
That's right.
Agreed. I thought that was the best penalty that we took all year long.
It was
totally set the tone. Worth it.
Totally set the tone. And to see him sitting there bleeding like that, oh, man, that made my night. I said, oh, yeah, we fighting today. We fighting today.
So, yeah, Gilmore showed out, the defense showed out. And, again, that was something that just made this win that much more spectacular, because the way the Cowboys have been beating teams, like, I've been saying it all season long, like, people acting like the Cowboys beating these bad teams and blowing these teams out, making it non-competitive, was normal. It's not normal. It is not normal to beat teams by 20 or more points, and the Cowboys have now done it 7 times. They're one away from tying the record, so it's not normal. And to do it to a good team, to keep the Eagles offense out of the end zone, and as much as I hate the Eagles, that is a great offense over there, like with Jalen Hurts, with AJ Brown, with Devontae Smith, and Dallas Goedert was back, so they had their whole starting offensive line. There was no excuses. Like, there was no excuses as to why they were like, they couldn't come out and say, oh, well, we didn't have Dallas Goedert, or oh, this guy was hurt, or we didn't have a starting offensive line, Lane Johnson was out. Nah, you had all your pieces, and the Cowboys defense shut them down, and that was glorious. So, just wanted to pause here give a really quick review of what I've been watching this Christmas season. I always love watching Christmas movies, Christmas specials. It's funny. I'm probably going to ramp it up because I'm off from work next week, so I'm really going to go hard next week. But the only one I've really actually watched was Scrooged, which I absolutely love. And like I said, I started Violent Night last week, which was a Christmas movie that came out last year. It was an action movie. Like, I love the blending of genres, and even though people don't count Die Hard as a Christmas movie, it is. I'm sorry, I don't care. It takes place during Christmas. Yes, it's an action movie. It's an awesome action movie, but it's also an awesome Christmas movie. And so Violent Night took that key and tried to do this blending of movie and what of genres. And what it was is that David Harbour, who plays, you know, if you've seen Stranger Things, he's the actor that plays Hopper, the town sheriff, and he plays Santa Claus. And like I said, the first 10 minutes of the movie were very funny to me, just how they play it. And he's like this Santa Claus who's very disillusioned by Christmas. He's tired of it. He feels like he doesn't even know why he's doing it anymore. He feels like the kids are greedy and ungrateful and they don't believe. And so it's like he's very disillusioned by the whole process. And the... You know, I think what I said last episode is Santa Claus fighting terrorists. They're not terrorists. These are thieves, or like they're, you know, taking over this billionaire's complex and are trying to rob this billionaire of like over $300 million. You'll see it. So anyway, he's caught in the middle of this heist by these bad guys, and it's very Die Hard like in terms of him attacking these criminals and stuff. And it's so funny, the movie itself, like overall, like about for the most part, I was like, oh, I think I'm really gonna love it, but it's a little scattered. It's some of the acting is not great, and it's not as funny to me as it could have been. And so it's like overall, like I couldn't give it like I was like, oh, this is gonna be a good B movie. It's more like a C. It's a C. Like, it has some decent moments, but the action is like, could have been a little bit better. It's a little like, you know, some of the characters are incredibly annoying. I'm not a big fan of kids in action movies. I'm sorry. Like, I know I enjoy Stranger Things. I love the Goonies growing up. So, like, kids in dangerous situations can always be fun. Like the new Ghostbusters, that's a kids in dangerous situation, and it was fun and I liked it. But I don't know, man, it's like kids in action movies I just find very annoying. And the little kid in this one was a little annoying, just a tad, just a skosh, and that kind of brought it down. And then the way it kind of wrapped up was a little weak in my opinion. Like, it just wasn't, it's a fantasy movie, so you suspend disbelief and everything and all that, so that wasn't what I had an issue with. But the action could have been a little bit better. And so from that standpoint, it was just kind of like, it's a C. Like, this isn't like a classic. Like, I'm not going to go back and try to make it a regular occurrence to watch Violent Night every Christmas or so. Like, you know, like Die Hard or something, or Lethal Weapon or anything. So it, in terms of the action, it was okay. Could have been better, in my opinion. It was definitely over the top violent. Like, there's a sequence where David Harbour's Santa Claus is taking out all these mercenaries, and it's pretty gruesome. Like, one that was ridiculous. It was like a ridiculous kill. I'm sorry. Like, he's sucking on this candy cane to where he sharpens it. Like, he sharpens this candy cane into like a spike, and he's like killing these dudes with a candy cane. It's so ridiculous. But, like, you can check it out for yourself. Like, I'm not going to say, hey, I would say you can check it out. But, yeah, I give it a C is my letter grade on it. It wasn't anything that was great, I would say. And so what we're going to do for the Christmas list, which I'm going to record this weekend, like I said before, I think I did lay it out, but I solidified what it's going to be. I want the people that are going to join me to give me their best version of a Christmas movie or special that has been done multiple times. Like, for example, A Christmas Carol. there's multiple versions of it. I want them to give me, hey, if that's the movie they chose, what is your best version of that? There's actually like two or three versions of It's a Wonderful Life, because I looked this up. I've only seen the one, but maybe the other people have. And so I want you to give me your best version of that. And then at least, you know, and then the next one that I'm going to have during that episode is, there are a ton of Christmas musical classics. Like, you know, This Christmas by Donny Hathaway has been done a lot of times. I think this generation really likes the Chris Brown version of This Christmas, which is good, but come on, everybody knows, you know, what the ultimate best version of this Christmas is Donny Hathaway. So we're going to share our favorite versions of musical selections as well. So that's going to be a lot of fun. I always love putting the Christmas list together, and you know, it's going to be fun to have my friends on and talk about it, and especially because Christmas is by far my favorite holiday. And I know, like, a lot of people get disillusioned by it because of the commercialism with it, and they lose sight of it depending on, you know, whatever you believe in spiritually. Like, I am a Christian. I believe in the birth of Jesus Christ and all that, and I love the Christmas season because of that. I love doing the Christmas specials at church. But it's always fun to have family and friends on and just us talking about Christmas and all that good stuff. So that's going to definitely be the next episode. It was supposed to be this one, but I couldn't get everybody together. And plus, man, I couldn't. You can't go wrong talking about the Cowboys beating down the Eagles, like I said. So up next is going to be the final talk of me and my dad, JR, Greg, putting the final touches on the Cowboys game, a little bit of what we think the Cowboys are going to do the rest of the season, and like if we have a chance of getting the one seed, which I hope we do, and then I'll come back to wrap it up. You're listening to the 0 to 100 podcast. So, all right, Dad, on a scale of 1 to 10, how confident are you that the Cowboys can win the division? Because now they're leading, at least until the Eagles play the Giants.
I'd say at 9. You know, my concern is, you know, having followed Dallas so often in December, you know, I got to see them still play at this level. The next two games is going to tell. If they take Buffalo and Miami, then it's all over. I mean, I think that, you know, of course they'll win out, right? 14-3. And the question is whether or not everybody else will keep pace. Mm-hmm. I think the Eagles have another loss coming, you know. Now San Francisco, I don't know if, you know, they have Baltimore and they have the Rams. And so it's possible that they could lose one of those. And, you know, if we have home field advantage, could you imagine?
Woo! Yeah, I'll be fired up. JR, where you at on a scale of 1 to 10?
I'd say like a, you know, a 6 or 7. I agree with, I'm sorry, sir, what is your name?
Oh, I'm senior.
Yeah, that's
senior. I agree with senior.
Yeah, I'm William Jr. That's William Senior. So, okay. Well, actually, nobody even like most. Well, yeah, that's senior. He's
all right. Well, I agree with senior in that I think it's like it is not a given that the Eagles are going to win out. You know, right. I think they could lose next week, and I think one other team is going to shock them. I think the Kyler Murray led Cardinals have a chance to shock them. Because they're, you know, we've seen that, you know, they're tough, and I think they have a better quarterback now, you know, or, you know, it's like, you know, division games are division games, and, you know, and I think the Eagles are doubting themselves a little bit right now. So. You know,
did you like if you saw Jalen Hurts' face after that first fumble? It looked like he was like the lineman was all in his ear because he looked like he was, yeah.
They looked like they were taking care of him. I'm like, he just fumbled.
Yeah. You know, like, that's great.
His wife didn't leave him. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, Lord, get over it, bro. You know, the bigger question for me is the Cowboys on the road in Miami and Buffalo. Like, those are like those games are going to be tough, you know. So it feels like the Cowboys probably have to win out, you know, or lose, like the Eagles have to lose two, and we can only lose one. So both those feel like equally kind of far out there to happen. But not impossible.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
Greg, I'm sorry, go ahead. Gerald.
Nope, you're good.
Greg, where are you at on a scale of 1 to 10 of possibly winning the division?
I'm probably gonna say I'm somewhere. I'm gonna say I'm about an 8.
Okay.
The reason I'm gonna say I'm an 8 is because honestly, deep down inside, I think the Eagles gonna lose out.
All the games.
I think they're done. And I'm gonna tell you why. Number one, we know their defense can be had.
Mm-hmm.
We know their defense can be had. So even if you have a halfway decent quarterback, you know, a decent run game and some halfway decent receivers, you can put up stuff on them. We also agree that, like, there's something just not right going on up there.
Mm-hmm.
And also with that, I don't think Jalen Hurts is 100%.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's 100%. You know, the one slide where he slid, he got up kind of like grimacing. It's like, dude, nobody even touched you. Like, why are you hurt? Getting up off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But also, too, like, you know, I think the blueprint to beat them is out there. It's definitely out there. You know what I mean? You just got to, you know, you got to be able to out-physical them. And, you know, you could tell on their faces when they left. That was a defeated team.
Mm.
That was a defeated team. And to have what happened to them last night happen to them 2 weeks in a row,
mm-hmm.
that could be demoralizing. You know what I mean? Because we, you know, we're not talking about, you know, you guys just lost. Like, guys got your asses kicked. You know what I mean? Once at home, once on the road, back-to-back week.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? But also, too, we know how that fan base is. Fan base turn on you like a light switch.
Boy, he's
about to get turned up.
And so things are going to get turned up. It's about to get turned up. So with all that combination of things, like you can, but also, too, we know how fast, you know, the Eagles can, you know, can bust themselves. You know what I mean? Like, we know that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why, like I said, like an 8. Now, if we end up, you know, taking out Buffalo and Miami, then, you know, I'm at a 10 regardless of what the Eagles do.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Regardless of what the Eagles do.
Yeah. I think
going on a road for those two games is really going to determine where we are, mm-hmm. or where we are as a contender for the division.
Yeah, I'm at a 7 or 8. And the only reason, like, I'm not fully there at a 9 is just because, like I feel like the Cowboys are going to take care of their business. I do think, like, I'm not like Greg, where I don't see the Eagles going winless, even though they do, like, body language-wise, the way they do look like a defeated team. Like, even Sirianni, who got the most punchable face, like, he did not look like that was the best part. There was no moment in that game where he could smile, where he could smirk, where he could mug to the camera. It was nothing he could do. He was beat from the jump. Like,
he should have put his visor on at halftime. Maybe it would have helped him out.
He was beat from the jump. And I do think the Eagles got at least 2 losses in them. I was listening to the radio, the station down in Dallas. And he was talking about, like, the crazy scenarios. Like, for example, if the Cowboys were to lose, let's say they lose to Buffalo, but the Eagles lose to Seattle, then and then they both went out the rest of the way. Then they both still had the same record. But then because the Eagles were lost in conference,
I'm with you.
Then they would have the same in conference record. And then they would have to go to
strength, not point differential,
schedule or strength of record. So it's like whoever, whichever team has beaten the most teams with winning records would be able to get in. And right now the Eagles have the slight edge on them, But if Dallas were to, say, beat Miami and then beat Detroit, then they would have a better, you know, shot at it, because those are two other good teams. And then the only good teams the Eagles would have was Kansas City, Buffalo, Miami, and I think that's – oh, and Dallas. Yeah, Dallas. So it's like – it. I don't know. It's like my point is, let's not even let it get there. Just take care of your business. And I'm kind of with you too, Greg, because if they beat Buffalo on the road and then they beat Miami on the road, that's playoff ready. Especially Miami, because Miami's offense reminds me of, like, to me it's like it's the perfect test to prepare you for the 49ers.
It's a hybrid 49ers offense.
Exactly.
They just take more shots downfield than the 49ers do.
Exactly. Because, like, Mike McDaniel's a, you know, he come from the tree of Shanahan, and they run, like, the same kind of schemes, and they scheme people open, and Tua really don't have to do that much, just like Brock Purdy don't have to do that much. And I was like, so if we beat those two teams, then I'm like, boy, let's go. And if we get home field, if we get home field, because, like, the 49ers, the only tough game, like my dad said, the only tough games they got left really is Baltimore and the Rams. Because the Rams look like they didn't kind of – they creeping back. Like, you know, they took Baltimore to the wire yesterday. And so I do have hope that the Eagles at least got one loss, and then I got hope that maybe the 49ers can get a loss. Because if Dallas get the one seed, man –
If Dallas gets the one seed, what NFC East team is gonna come in their hand and hand out work with us?
That's what I'm saying. Like the only one is the Niners, and I want to beat a man, you gotta beat the man. And
you said it.
I'm ready. I'm like, that's a rip. Woo! Let's go. Woo!
Even going there. You know, even if we have to go to San Francisco, I'm like, you know, I'm not trying to be afraid of that anymore. You know, amen. It's like, mm-hmm. If we have to go there, we have to go there and beat them. That's it.
Yeah.
This show travels.
So I'll get you guys out on this one, Greg. You can start it off. So there's four games left. The Cowboys are up next. They got to go to Buffalo. They go to Miami. Then they get Detroit at home on the night that Jimmy Johnson goes into the Ring of Honor, which I am firmly believing, because Jerry finally did the right thing. I
haven't lost since.
He didn't broke the curse. And it's like, so
we haven't lost since.
And then we wrap the season up with Washington on the road. Which of those four games, like, what's the biggest concern for you? How you feel about that?
Miami. I think this week with Buffalo, I think De'Ron Bland is going to, you know, really solidify himself as the defensive player of the year.
Josh, I think
he's going to get at least two. He's going to get at least two.
That's what I'm going to say. Josh Allen love to get the ball away.
Yeah,
he's going to get the ball.
Yeah, De'Ron Bland going to get at least two. So Miami will probably be the only game that would probably really concern me. I'm not watching them. I'm going to go see how they look right now when we get off of here. But Miami was probably the only game that really concerned me. The Lions just got had. So, mm-hmm. and then Washington's Washington. So, you know, I'm not really, you know, by that time we might be resting players in that game.
Mm-hmm. Dan,
that would be sweet.
But, you know, it's a good test for Dallas getting ready for the playoffs to have to go on the road and play a quality team. I'm just hoping Josh Allen, it will be Josh Allen. And, you know, with that secondary that Dallas has, they've got to get at least a couple picks. You know, it's just a question of whether or not Bland takes one back to the house. And if Dak continues to be Dak, then I just don't see us getting beat by Buffalo. And I really haven't seen enough of Miami to know whether or not they're for real or not. Mm-hmm. you know, the Eagles game, you know, they didn't really challenge the Eagles. So I don't know, you know, unless they're, you know, they could be getting better as well. And so it may be a real test for Dallas, but I think Buffalo to me is going to be the tougher game. And if we take that, then I think that we can handle Miami.
JR?
My vote is Buffalo too. I feel like weather is the thing I'm more concerned about with our team, you know, and that we have, you know, like that we play better at home. I think has a lot to do with, you know, it's a controlled environment. So we can just be, you know, fast and surgeon like, and weather plays with that kind of thing. I also think, you know, I think Josh Allen is a problem. Like, we hope he throws interceptions, but like the same guy that throws those interceptions is also the one that makes that crazy play that he made where he's like falling out of bounds and he's throwing it and crazy. Completing it. I mean, you know, he's an amazing player sometimes, you know. And you know, it's like the Dolphins, I feel like we, you know, it's like they also depend on speed, which makes me think that, you know, you know, like our offense is probably one of the few that can keep up with theirs, you know, and kind of like with the Eagles, I think we're probably, our defense is probably a little bit better, mm-hmm. you know, but Buffalo, the weather and just the, you know, the sheer athlete, mm-hmm. I feel like that Josh Allen is, you know, and, you know, and like, y'all were saying, and I also think it's good timing for just that kind of contest, one way or the other. You know, like if we don't wind up getting like the number one seed overall, which we probably won't, it'll be good to have played in the cold because both San Francisco and Philly get cold in the winter.
For me, I would say Miami. Like, it's not that I'm not concerned about Buffalo. It's just Buffalo to me is a very weird team, and I just feel like they kind of. Like, there's nothing about them that frightened me. Like, you know, because watching them in the Eagles game, yeah, granted, they should have won that game, but their defense isn't, like, lights out to me. Like, I think Dallas can handle them. Kansas City, as bad as their wide receivers were, they still should have won that game if, like, Kadarius Toney knows how to actually stay on side, which I could not comprehend. And it wasn't like... I couldn't even understand how he was so far over the line.
Because he looked at the ball.
Yes! And I'm like, dude, it's like, you're looking, if you can see your foot is past the ball, then you're too far up. And I don't get that. I just don't understand that. So yeah, Miami's the only one that I have a little bit of concern. It really is not even... concern is really just Mike McDaniel, and it's that scheme, and it's like that's the only thing that kind of gives me a little bit of pause. But like I said, if they win those games, especially like if they beat Miami, then I feel good, man. Like I'm like, okay, especially if the defense does something, because I'm like, okay, who's gonna stop this defense? Like this defense is no joke. I did say that was gonna be the last one, but I forgot. I can't let y'all go without talking about Butter Brandon. Auburn.
Oh yeah,
because that dude,
Auburn-matic.
I mean, he was like 60 yards, and it was like it was nothing. And that's a weapon. That is a weapon to have, especially. And again, another reason why if we get home field advantage, like Dan, you said it last night when I was talking to you. All you gotta do is get across the 50, and you get some points.
None of those kicks were ever in doubt. And those ones that he bombed from 60, they would have been good from 65.
Yeah.
He was just bombing them.
Yeah.
Reed, 100%. It was funny because when we were talking about our offensive player of the game, he crossed my mind, you know, but I was like, but you know, I'm gonna pick somebody on offense. And then I meant to bring it up about the special teams because he's amazing. I have him in fantasy, I think, on all three of my teams, but at least two of them, 22 points, dude. You know, from your kicker, you know, which is good. Justin Herbert on one team, and he's been a disaster.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, imagine, you know, if you have the ball at the 50-yard line, you're at the 10 for the end zone. So that's 60. Then, okay, you move it back 7. I think he could hit it from 67.
Both those, the 59 and 60-yarder look like, I mean, they still have some.
They were straight. Like, it was, I mean, the thing
was so crazy. Wasn't just coming over the.
Yeah.
The
yeah, they were bombs, man. They were straight bombs.
Yeah, and so, it was. Like when he was kicking the touchbacks and they was hitting the crossbar, like when he was doing the kickoffs, I'm like, okay, no, this dude is it's so wild to me because like the very first kick he had in the season was an extra point and he missed it, and my thing was like, what, this dude, why can't we get a kicker? And now he's not missed. It is like, oh man, it's crazy, but. All right, you guys, I appreciate y'all jumping on. This was a lot of fun. And hopefully I'll have y'all back on and we talking about another Cowboys victory, but I'm fired up. It's nothing better than beating the Eagles in December. That makes the Christmas season right.
Nice to meet you, senior. Good to see you, Greg.
All right, nice to meet you, senior.
Nice talking to you guys.
All right, yes, have a nice night.
Bye, you guys. Bye, Dave.
Have a good one.
That's going to do it for the 0 to 100 podcast. Once again, big shout out to Think. So happy that my dad was able to get on and talk about a Cowboys victory. JR, looking forward to have you on again. Greg, definitely going to have you back. And next time I try to get my brother Corey on so he can talk Cowboys again. Just a little preview of the Cowboys versus Bills. It's funny, like, I was incredibly overly, like, you know, confident going into the Cowboys-Eagles game. I didn't think the Cowboys were going to absolutely blow them out, but I was very confident that the Cowboys were going to win that game. My confidence level for the Bills initially was not as high, only because I feel like the Bills are a very Jekyll and Hyde team. You don't know which one is going to show up. You know that Josh Allen is going to turn the ball over, but you just have to be like, oh, are we going to take advantage of it? And the second thing was I just didn't want the Cowboys to have a letdown. Like, you get all fired up to win this game versus the Eagles and at least give yourself a shot at the division and then have this massive letdown by losing to the Bills. But as the week is going on, I've been getting a little bit more confidence because I feel like people are still doubting the Cowboys even after what they've done, especially after what they did to the Eagles. And now it's like, oh, well, they can't do that on the road versus a good team. And so I'm like, oh, okay. All right. I like that. And then the weather report came out where at first it was like, oh, it's going to be like a 50-degree day, no precipitation. It's going to be weather's going to be clear. And so I'm like, oh, sweet, that's a good thing. And now come to find out it's going to be cold and rainy. Like, it's going to be a rainy day. But people seem to forget that it was a cold and wet and rainy day for the Cowboys when they were on the road versus the Giants at the opening of the season. And they had one of their most spectacular performances of the season. So we'll see. I'm not as confident in this game as I was for the Eagles game, but I do feel good about it. I feel like there is a legit shot because looking at the Eagles and hearing about all the turmoil that they're having, and I'm not counting the Eagles out by any stretch. Like, a team that went to the Super Bowl the year before, you can't count out, and they are still 10-3. Like, they won 10 games. They're not a bad team, but if they could be hitting a little bit of a slide here, and I just need, if they could, you know, if they lose Monday night to Seattle, which is a very real possibility, then that gives the Cowboys a little bit of, to have control. In fact, they do have control of their own destiny. They just got to take care of business the rest of the way. And this is really a good test. Playing Buffalo on the road, and then you got to play Miami on the road, and then you get Detroit. So those are three good teams in a row. This is a really good test to get them playoff ready. To me, like, starting with the Eagles, this was playoff football. Like, the Cowboys have started their playoffs starting with the Eagles, and I'm looking forward to seeing what they do the rest of the way. And I have confidence in this team. I have confidence in Dak Prescott because he is absolutely playing the best football of his career right now. And it's, you know, I was debating back and forth if I was going to share this one clip that I heard from one of these fake take media shows where they use Dak Prescott for engagement. And I was like, man, I don't know. But I will say this, like, it's funny to me how they are now saying, oh, well, the reason why Dak Prescott's the front runner is because it's a down year for quarterbacks and all the quarterbacks are getting hurt and there's really no spectacular quarterback that you can look at, and so Dak is all we got. And I'm like, they refuse to give him any credit, and it's fine. I don't care. It's almost like I was joking, we're going to have to put these people on suicide watch, because if the Cowboys and Dak Prescott pull this thing off and they win, you know, Dak wins MVP or wins the Super Bowl and wins Super Bowl MVP, they will literally, I feel like they would rather kill themselves than to give this man a compliment or admit that they were wrong about him. Like, I know they are banking on the Cowboys to just be like, oh, same old Cowboys, they don't close the deal. Like, I know they're banking on that and they're hoping and praying that the Cowboys don't make it. But I'm just going to say, man, if the Cowboys somehow get home field advantage, oh boy, I'm a little excited. This team feels very different to me. So we'll see. And just another, another big thing was the Cam Newton thing. And Cam Newton sees how the media reacts to things, and so he's got his own podcast now, and he felt the need to come out with a hot take. And the reality is, the Cowboys are America's team, and they're polarizing, and the media knows that, hey, how do we get attention? Let's have a topic about the Cowboys. So what did Cam Newton do when he's talking about quarterbacks? Like, he was talking about Tua Tagovailoa, he was talking about Jared Goff, Brock Purdy. And of course, like, if he had just left it at that, talk about quarterbacks who he deems as game managers, then it wouldn't have gotten a great deal of attention. People would have probably said something, but they wouldn't have had like a major, it wouldn't have been like a major story. But he threw Dak Prescott's name in there, and everybody was like, what? And that's when everybody went nuts. So he got the attention that he wanted. And then a lot of people was coming for him, and they was talking about his career versus Dak's career and, you know, this and that. And it was very funny. And then he immediately tried to clarify and back it off a little bit and try to go, oh, game manager's not a bad thing. That's just a person that tries to get other people involved and don't turn the ball over. You know, he tried to clean it up, but it was still, to me, missing a point. And he listed like Peyton Manning as a game manager, Tom Brady as a game manager, and I'm like, bro, this, first off, Peyton Manning is not a game manager. Like, no, a game manager is not a negative thing or a bad thing per se, but the way you insinuated it to me was like, if those quarterbacks don't make a difference and it's more dependent upon the other players. First off, every quarterback is dependent upon other players because football is the ultimate team sport. And like, look at Patrick Mahomes. He can't do it by himself. I'm telling you right now, Patrick Mahomes would love some other players to have to depend on or to help him, because he's got wide receivers dropping passes and lining up offsides, which, It's a little crazy to me, the up in arms, how people got over to Kadarius Toney offsides and you know, Patrick Mahomes' reaction, like, oh, they shouldn't have blew the whistle because they should have let that go because it didn't affect the play. Like, come on, man, what are we talking about? This dude was literally almost like a yard offside. Like, he was lined up past the center. Like, come on, man. Like, what are we doing here? But for people to try to sit there and try to put these players, like Cam Newton was trying to do, and label them as game managers, and like it was a derogatory thing, it's just, come on, man, stop it. Like, we know what you was trying to do, we know what the connotation was, and then he got all this smoke, and bro, you got what you wanted, so don't try to run and be like, oh, play victim now. Like, it's just comical to me. I'm very much looking forward to the rest of this season, plain and simple. I just feel like it's different. The Cowboys are playing at a level that I have not seen them do in quite some time. And it's just, oh, man, it's sweet. It's sweet. I love what Mike McCarthy is doing. I love the players on this team. Oh, man, I can't wait. So thanks for listening. Let me know what you think. Join the conversation. Email the show at 0to100pod@gmail.com. The number 0to100pod@gmail.com. And make sure you follow me on the socials at WCWPoet. This has been the 0to100 podcast, episode 113. Cowboy up. We out.